Everybody, welcome to Take 242. It is ITC. I am here joined by a writer, a producer, an executive producer, my best friend, a film winner, a film teacher, a mentor, a podcaster, a husband, a dog dad, and a movie simp. That is Mr. Kamiko Adcock.
I don't want to scream too much. I don't want to blow out the levels and kill everyone's speakers. So there we go.
Blow them out. Keeks, welcome to the pod. You know, you have been here for 242 takes, but this is a little bit different. As we have talked about on our last take of Indiana Jones, we're going to be doing a films to be buried with format interview questionnaire so you guys can get to know us a little bit through film. So basically what happens is, Keeks, you're going to die, fortunately. You will tell us how you died. And then people on the other side in heaven want to know about you through film. So that is basically the breakdown of the questionnaire of the interview for Films We Bury With. We hope you guys listen to a couple episodes of Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent in Ted Lasso. It's one of our favorite podcasts. So this is going to be a fun little time.
It is an amazing podcast. TC put me on and I freaking love it. So I'm very excited to do this.
I'm excited to hear your answers and to hear what films mean the most to you of different questions. So without further ado, Keeks, as I mentioned, you have died. You have unfortunately died. How did that happen? Give us a rundown.
You know, it wasn't anything too complicated. Death scares me to death. Didn't even think about that when I said that. So I've just thought of the easiest way to go, and I just died in my sleep. I feel like there's hopefully fair quick enough and painless. I actually have no idea. It seems that it's quick and unexpected. So that's kind of how I'd rather go. I don't want it to be drawn out. I don't want it to be from like some injury. Either that or I tore my right Achilles and my will just vanishes from my body and I die. But I think it's because I die in my sleep.
Okay. Okay. And I was about to ask, are you afraid of death?
Yes. Yep. Probably. Well, maybe the biggest thing that I'm afraid of. I don't know if it hurts. I don't know anything about it. It terrifies me.
And do you believe, like, you know, in an afterlife?
Yeah, I do. Totally.
Nice. Well, fortunately, in this heaven, it is filled with your favorite things. And Keeks, what is your favorite thing?
Oh, you know, can I just say Japanese food? I mean, I would say ramen, specifically the tonkatsu spicy from Jinya Ramen is one of, if not my favorite things.
Where is that restaurant?
There's actually quite a few of them. There's one in Lehigh. We'll have to go sometime. Maybe for like my birthday or something, we'll go to Jinya.
No, I want to.
Incredible. I, until last year, always thought that ramen would just kind of top ramen vibes. Like, and I do not like top ramen. And so we went out with Becky and one of her coworkers, and it quickly became one of my favorite things. It is so good.
Okay. Next movie night premiere. Hit up the ramen beforehand.
Oh, there's one. It's literally like right by Thanksgiving Point Megaplex.
Oh, perfect. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, in this heaven, there is just endless bounties of great Japanese food, especially ramen. And what was the cuisine you mentioned?
Specifically, the dish it is tonkatsu spicy from Jinya Ramen.
Tonkatsu spicy. So everybody is there. Your friends, your ancestors, everybody is willing and wanting to talk to you over some of this food, but they want to know about your life through film. And one of the first questions they ask is, what was the first ever film you saw or remember seeing?
It's definitely Star Wars A New Hope. I think I've talked about it on the podcast a few times, but my mom took me to go see it, and our neighbor went. I was probably 4, maybe 3. And I'm sure I saw other movies, but this is like the first one I really remember seeing. And yeah, I remember Darth Vader coming through the door, scared me to death. So I like jumped up on my mom's lap. And like, I think I probably just stayed there and watched the rest of the movie through it.
Amazing. That is that's a great first movie to watch.
Yeah. I think it was it must have been the 20th anniversary. They did like re-releases, and it must have been for that.
Ugh, I love it. I love it. How old were you when you 4. Did that?
Maybe 3.
4. Dang.
Yeah.
Good memory.
Hey, you know, I try.
It's like surprising.
It just stood out. It stood out for me.
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit, so I'm going to stop the video. Hopefully that helps a little
bit.
Yep,
that's what I just did.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you great. Do you hear me?
Okay, perfect. All right. Yep. You're loud and clear. Okay. So you said Darth Vader coming through the room scared you. I know this about you, but maybe the Swedes don't know. What was the film that scared you the most? And do you like being scared?
So I have often stated that Get Out is the scariest movie that I've ever seen. However, because I've said that so many times on the podcast, I did kind of want to add a little bit more to the answer. First off, I don't like being scared by things in real life. Like, I feel like I'm very sensitive to scary things in real life. However, I love the sensation of being scared in scary movies. It's one of my favorite things. The first movie that I remember watching that really, like where I was, this is actually kind of funny, is a, it's kind of two parts to this. One, you know, Get Out being scariest movie I've ever seen. That and Hereditary is like literally the scariest movie. Get Out has just like stuck with me for so long. But I remember as a child watching A Bug's Life, there is a short that premieres before it. It's called Jerry's Game, and it's about this old man that plays chess against himself. And for some reason, it might even have been before. No, it was before Bug's Life. The concept of this old man, like he's playing chess against himself, his character design is terrifying. It really, truly is like one of the most, I don't know. I thought it was so cursed. I still to this day will not watch A Bug's Life. I've seen the short since because we watched A Bug's Life in my Spanish class in like 9th grade. And I literally just had to exposure therapy, sit there and endure watching Jerry's Game. And I freaking hated it. I've not seen it since. And he's actually the old man that cleans up Woody in Toy Story 2. My parents knew this and they took us to go see Toy Story 2 and did not tell me that he was going to be in it. And when he came on the screen, I was mortified.
Oh my gosh. What a unique scare.
It like, honestly, go watch Jerry's Game and you'll be like, oh, Keeks is totally right. This old man is traumatizing. He's very, very freaky looking. But I will say, like, being scared in a theater, like as I got older, horror movie wise, is Paranormal Activity. Because I was like 15. I'm pretty sure I went to go see it with my buddy Paul. And I believe, I want to say, and I don't know, I'll have to chat with him. Was Adam Derfler. I think I'm pretty sure he listens to the pod. I know at least interact with him about movies. I'm pretty sure we went and saw it and I was too young to go in. And so they snuck my ID in there and covered my birth date. And then they gave us the tickets and we were able to go in and watch Paranormal Activity. But I remember just being scared to death of that movie as I was watching it. And very much confirmed to me that like found footage horror is just my favorite subgenre of films.
Sneaky, very sneaky,
very sneaky. Yeah, I think it might have even been during like one of our class periods. We all had like similar classes, so we just left and went to go see it.
Oh, that's a memorable moment. Do you
great.
like kind of just the atmosphere of being scared in a theater
Yeah,
or
it's kind of like a
in a
roller
movie?
coaster. It's like you're kind of going up the hill. You know there's a drop coming and it's dark. You're like, oh my gosh, what is this gonna look like? And yeah, it's awesome. I love the
Yeah,
sensation.
I like that. I remember kind of feeling that way with Zodiac, of just the suspense of like when Jake Gyllenhaal's in the basement. I was like, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
this is intense. So, yeah, The Witch Blair Project, that's on my watch list. I know that's kind of like an atmosphere found footage, right?
Yep, you'll like it. And
Okay.
it's not traditionally scary. It's just kind of the if you're not a big nature boy like me, it's just the concept is terrifying.
Yeah. Okay. Now this kind of goes hand in hand, maybe definitely different emotions, is what was the film that made you cry the most? And do you consider yourself a crier?
It's a My Dog Skip. Do you ever see that one? Do you ever see that one with Frankie Muniz?
I haven't. No, My Dog Skip. No.
It's it probably came out in like 2000 or 2001, maybe even 1999. But pretty young Frankie Muniz, he gets a dog named Skip. He's like kind of this loner kid. They just moved into a new house, and his dad's a little bit rough around the edges. Kevin Bacon is in it. Luke Wilson is in it.
Stacked cast.
Or it's either Luke Wilson or David Arquette. I always forget
I'm looking
which
at
one
it
is what,
right
but
now. It's Luke Wilson.
it is. Okay, because I
Yeah.
always get them mixed up for some reason. And yeah, it's about his adventures with his dog Skip, and I just like saw. I it was the first movie I remember crying, and it's the movie that I watched the most and have cried through the most. That
Well,
or Up. I would also be willing to say Up, but I'm gonna
okay.
lock in My Dog Skip. And
Wow, good
I'm
choices.
a crier to a degree. Like, I'll get a little teary-eyed, but I generally try to hold back because I think if I do actually cry, then I will like sob and I cannot get like a grip over my emotions again.
Fair enough. Yeah. It feels good to cry, though. It
It
really
does. You
does.
gotta let it out.
You do. Especially in a movie that really hits that chord. You're like, oh, My Dog Skip. I'm gonna add that to the watch list.
Yeah. You'll think it's cute. I mean, I have not seen it probably in 10 years, maybe more, but I loved it growing up.
Yeah. Another dog movie I recommend is Hachi, A Dog's Tale. I
That's
think you
right.
would
I
like
remember that was
that.
on the IMDb 250.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, what film is terrible by general audiences? They don't seem, love it, but you personally do love it.
It's a Master of Disguise. I tried to think of like a more unique one that I'm like, oh, like what do most people hate, but like, or that's bad and you love it. I tried to think of other ones, but it is The Master of Disguise. I watched it
Yeah, that's
like
a great answer. That movie is bad. That movie's bad.
I watched it like last year just to see, and oh my gosh, like the names for everyone, the movie makes no sense. It truly is an abominable film, but I love it.
Gosh. Stick to your guns.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
What's a film that is critically acclaimed by audiences, well liked, but you don't see the love for it?
The Wolf of Wall Street. I've always seen it as Marty's. It's my least favorite of his, I think. That and maybe Shutter Island, but I do kind of like in Shutter Island. But Wolf of Wall Street, it's just it feels long to me. It is interesting, but I feel like he's done that story better, like in The Irishman and also in Goodfellas, even to a degree in Raging Bull, like, kind of these not outcasts of societies, but these anti-heroes. I just think it's been done better by him, and I've never really understood why people love it so much.
Is that his BFG?
I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of his movies, so I cannot say it's his BFG. But I don't know. It just does not click with me, and I've never really understood it. And a lot of people seem to like be really, really like on board with it. I don't know. I don't totally get it.
A kind of an audible here, follow-up question. What's a director that you're like, I need to watch all their movies?
Oh, after watching Full Metal Jacket, it's definitely Stanley Kubrick.
Okay.
But I'm going to answer this even more so of a film that is critically acclaimed by audiences, but I don't see the love for it. A director that I don't really understand is Francis Ford Coppola. I've only seen a few of his movies. I've seen The Conversation, The Godfather Part 1 and 2,
Yeah.
and I just don't get it. I find myself to be terribly bored in his movies. So that's not to say they're all like that, but I do not get the appeal. That being said, he is like one of two verified people that I follow on Instagram because I find him to be very interesting. I just don't love his films.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what is the film you once loved, but watching it recently, you realize it's not as good as you remembered?
Rush Hour 2. It was like, I considered it to be like my favorite of the Rush Hour movies. And I remember during like 2000, you know, 2020, you and I were kind of going back and reviewing certain movies, trilogies and stuff. And rewatching, I was like, oh my gosh, I am not really laughing at all. It's just not as funny as 14-year-old me. Thought it was, or like 12-year-old me. Like, as I'm watching it, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, yeah, I'm not really getting it. I'm not, and I would even go to say all of those movies, like the whole Rush Hour franchise. It just, I don't know, I didn't find it to be nearly as funny, but I do like the first one more than the second one. The third one just is awful.
Yeah, I think those are perfect teenage movies, but with like adult eyes, you're like, oh, these jokes are pretty cringy.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan are kind of annoying, you know? So.
And most of the jokes are just like at the expense of Jackie Chan, like one of the most important movie stars of like the 20th century, like absolutely one of the greatest stuntmen and like physical actors of our generation. And most of the jokes are you're Asian or you are small. It's just the laziest form of jokes.
Yep, definitely. There's a lot of stereotype, you know, kind of racist jokes in Rush Hour. So, yeah, with adult eyes, you're like, that's a good answer. I like that. Good answer. Yeah. Okay, what is a film that means the most to you, not because of the film being great or really good, same thing, but because of the memories you have behind that film?
It is Spy Kids 2. So the reason it's Spy Kids 2 is because when I was probably 10 years old when it came out, maybe 11, and I saved up my allowance, and me and my mom, there's kind of a smaller, it's a musical theater place, but it also has like a little theater. It's the Sierra Theater in Orem off of State Street. You've probably been there. I would imagine not recently, but you have been there, right?
Yes, I have been there before. I watched, I think I watched 101 Dalmatians there.
Oh, like the live action Glenn Close one? I mean,
one of the Dalmatian movies I watched there with my family.
That movie, that theater has been there for, I mean, as long as I've been in Utah since 2000, that place has been there and it still plays like new releases. And I saved up my money and I went with my mom to go watch Spy Kids 2. I don't even know if she like watched it or remembers it. But for me, it was like I loved going to the movie theater as a kid. And Spy Kids 2 was like my family would generally take us to the movies, but it was like the dollar theater, you know, because like it was expensive to go to the movies. Even then it was expensive. And for me to be able to go to a new release movie with my mom and pay for it was like a very big moment for me.
Big move right there. Big move.
Yeah. Yeah. Massive.
I still remember your Halloween costume.
Yeah. Me and Becky were, she was Gertie Giggles and I was Junie Cortez, you know, because they're romantically interested in each other in the movies.
How would you feel about a remake of Spy Kids if they revamped?
I heard that they're doing it.
Oh, are they?
I heard somewhere that they're like doing like a reboot or they're bringing the cast back. I don't exactly know what it is, but I think they kind of did with like that. There was like a fourth or a fifth one where they did kind of bring some people back. Robert Rodriguez is another filmmaker that I just find to be fascinating. His movies are, you look at his filmography and you can't really nail down what it is. And some of his movies are just CGI like messes. I don't know. He's very interesting to me.
Amazing. Okay. What is the most romantic film you've seen?
Portrait of a Lady on Fire. That movie, I like the very end of that movie. I'd say like the last 20 minutes is like some of the most satisfying and well paid off filmmaking that has been done. It's mesmerizing. The romance in between the two leads is really awesome. It's essentially this girl has been on an island and she's waiting to get married, and her mother sends like another companion to paint her as a gift for her like husband to be. And oh my gosh, it is absolutely the most romantic film. It's so good. It's so good. It was my favorite movie of 2020.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. This came out in 2020, correct?
Yeah, it did. It came out literally right before the pandemic.
Wow. Bad timing.
Like, we watched it, I think, the week before. It was, bad timing, because I think it really would have performed extremely well. Mm. I've always said this, that it technically came out in 2019, but had it gotten the same amount of buzz as Parasite did, it deserves every award that Parasite got.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have to add that to the watch list.
It's great. It's on Hulu. Very okay. Easy to watch. And it looks amazing.
What's a film that isn't supposed to be sexy, but you found yourself turned on by?
I thought we were not going to do these ones.
Oh.
That's why I was asking. That's why I asked you earlier. Do we still want to do it?
I have an answer for mine when you do my interview, but my bad.
I mean,
now the people want to know now, Keeks. They want to know.
Well, the thing is, oh my gosh, the answer. Let's see, because I had thought of it, but the answer is kind of weird. I will give it anyways, I guess, because we're already here and we're already talking about it. It was the. Maybe this goes to show why I married Becky as well to a degree. Have you seen, like, and it is not Annie, okay? But the movie Annie, the lady who is in charge of the orphanage, when I was like 5 or 6, I watched that movie. Have you seen the old one where she's like grumpy? You know, they sing the song. It's probably, I don't even know when it was made, maybe the 80s.
1982. I'm looking at it right now.
She was so bossy and in charge, and I don't know what it is. That character I always found to be very weirdly sexy.
A woman in charge.
And hey, I married turn on.
Yeah, that's awesome. Was it Miss Hannigan?
I think so. I don't even know. Grace? I think Carol Burnett might have played her. Hold on, yeah. Annie. Yeah.
Carol movie. Burnett was Miss Hannigan.
It was okay. So yeah. Carol Burnett, she was my sexual awakening when I was a child. Oh my gosh, I like have like the embarrassed sweats right now because
I love it. I love.
Oh my goodness, yeah. It was Carol Burnett, 82 when that movie came out.
Amazing. I'm glad we asked.
The lamp leg from A Christmas Story.
Exactly the lamp you're talking about.
Oh,
blank. I'm dead.
Oh my god, I can
finish this interview. This is too good.
Hey, this is we're giving the insight into myself.
Hey, this is what people want to know.
They're a bit of self reports, but hey, you know what? Enjoy it, everyone.
Moving on, which film do you relate the most to?
It is a movie called La Haine. It's directed by Matthew Kosovitz. It's a French film, and it's think Do the Right Thing, but better and set in France, and kind of like the projects of France. It follows three friends throughout one day where they decide, okay, let's go out to Paris and kind of explore a little bit. It has like one of the best dolly zoom shots. It's just the locations it films in, the soundtrack, the different, how would I say it? Like the different locations and the different filmmaking styles. It's fairly avant-garde in the way it presents a lot of things, but it really is like absolutely one of my favorite movies. And it's just the streetwear aspect and the, you know, exploring with your friends and kind of like the bond that they form is something that I really just find fascinating. And I love I love hanging out with friends. You know, I love going to the movies with you. I love making films with my friends. Just hanging out H nights. It's just kind of all of that. Oh. I feel like in one movie, and I really, really relate to it a lot.
Lion was a great IMDb 250 watch. Very, very stylistic. That was like one of your favorite first time watches, right?
It was. Yeah, it might have even been from that year. It was so good. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was 2020, I think.
Sure was.
That's a good one. I like it. Okay, I'm excited to hear this answer from you. Okay. Which film is objectively the greatest ever? Maybe not your favorite, but one that you recognize, like, yeah, that might be the best movie ever made from top to bottom.
It's Goodfellas. It's like stylistically, yeah. It's incredible. It's that one shot going into the Copacabana or whatever the club is. It's snappy. It's quick. It's like almost 3 hours. It's one of the fastest movies you'll ever watch. Powerhouse awesome. Performances by everyone involved. Martin Scorsese is firing on all cylinders. It is the greatest film ever made.
It really is that good. It moves a mile a minute.
Yep. And like the needle drops are awesome. You know, for those of you that are like, oh, what's a needle drop? It's when a popular song will play during a key moment in a film. So when you watch
the needle drop was.
Yeah, yeah, that's what a needle drop is. And that movie's filled with them. Oh, there's so many good ones too. Yeah, that whole movie is, it really is a masterpiece. And I think the greatest film ever made.
With you just saying Goodfellas, I'm like, yeah, I have a hard time. Like, give it a counter argument for that movie.
Yeah, it's better than The Godfather. Like, if you're going to look at mafia films, yep. I've always wondered why The Godfather is considered the greatest one, because I think Goodfellas is better in every way.
Yes. I always tell people, like, hey, if you like The Godfather, you got to see Goodfellas.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That will change everything that you even thought about Godfather. Still good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which film is the one you've watched the most?
The Goonies. I literally could rewatch that movie, I feel like, every day and not get sick of it.
Classic.
We used to even, like every road trip we'd watch The Goonies. You could even almost say Napoleon Dynamite and School of Rock, but The Goonies for me is like, I've been watching it since I was like freaking 6, 7 years old.
Great rewatch.
Love The Goonies.
Amazing rewatchability.
Yeah, and it's fun. Again, you've got good enough. And it's like that wide shot of them riding their bikes down the hill, and they like puncture Astoria. Brands. They let all the air out of Brand's tires and his bike, and they're going off on an adventure. I guess you're kind of seeing that this sense of like adventure and wonder is just what I love about films. Like, I love adventure films because it's like there's something great waiting for you out there. You don't know what it is until you start going to catch it. And I think that's why I love filmmaking so much, because it is such an adventure to get something made. You know, you start at this small spot, and then by the end of it, you're, you know, out there getting ready to go to Lisbon, Portugal in March because you just won a film festival and you're going
Let's
to the
go.
Next round. And it's The Goonies is really, really awesome.
The Goonies is basically like La In, but for us
a little bit, yeah.
so to speak
it's the adventure aspect, then, you know, going out with your friends, and I love it.
Treasure seeking out, love it. That's a good answer.
It's our time, it's our time down here, Sean Astin, man. That's what a great, yeah, I love that movie so much.
And the Astoria backdrop, Cannon Beach.
Great score. Richard Donner directed, Steven Spielberg produced. Yeah, freaking rules.
Ugh, it does. Okay, we'll be quick with this one, but what's the worst film you've ever seen?
We do not like to talk about super ton about like worst movies, because every movie that gets made is a miracle. I had watched a movie recently that I thought was awful, but I kind of enjoyed it. And so I can't say it's the worst movie I've ever seen. The worst movie I have ever seen is The Haunting of Sharon Tate.
Mm.
It is offensive at every level.
Oh,
in
gosh.
Filmmaking.
Yep. Oh, gosh.
Starring Hilary Duff. I'm so sorry, Hilary. I hope you got a big bag for being in that movie, but it is truly an atrocious film.
Michael Caine, get the bag.
Yep.
I've
never seen Jaws the Revenge. I have seen The House It Bought, and it is very nice.
I still love that interview.
Yikes.
When did The Haunting of Sharon Tate come out?
2019. It came out right around the same time as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And on
Ooh.
paper, they're the same movie. It's kind of an alternate telling of the Sharon Tate murders, but this one is just like absolutely disgusting. It's, oh,
Ooh.
yeah, it's horrible.
Rough. What is the film that has made you laugh the most?
Jackass 2.
Oh, great answer.
And it is specifically the first time I ever watched the taxi driver bit. It's a, yeah, I don't even remember what it's called, but have you seen it? Do you know that bit?
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, from the pubes on his mouth.
Wait, no, you can't know.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
I will cut this out because I think that people need to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, it is so funny. And just the rest of it is really funny. I've said this many times is I think that the Jackass films are some of the greatest pieces of like pure Americana that exists. Like
Oh my gosh.
people will, you know, if we were to bury these films and in 3,000 years aliens came and it was like the only pieces of culture that they had to base off of like this area, I actually do not think that it would be that far off. Again, friends just hanging out.
And
Dudes being dudes.
what's amazing about the Jackass movies, they commit. Like they are doing these stunts. It is outlandish.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
They're
That's a
so
good.
funny. Oh my
Yeah, I
gosh.
have watched some Jackass movies with you, and it has been a blast.
Also, Jackass 3 is funny. The first one's okay, but yeah, definitely 2 and 3 is like really the peak of those movies.
Yeah. Okay, couple more. Jesus wants to sit front row with you in a theater. What film are you showing him?
Ambulance.
Stop.
No, I'm actually just kidding. It's Hoop Dreams.
Oh, okay.
I think that it would be, this guy, he's, according to the stories and whether you believe it or not, did a lot of stuff for people. And so for him to be able to see kind of like multi-layered, like for him to see how people have treated other people, but also like the human condition, like overcoming obstacles and like rising to the challenge. I think there's a lot of really like high points and a lot of really low points in this film that are super inspiring and also like kind of make you think about what the American dream is and what all that means. So it would be Hoop Dreams.
I love. Do you still have that shirt?
I do. Yeah, we still got it.
That shirt's sweet.
Becky has it.
This is my Keeks blind spot movie that you have told me to watch countless times, and I still have not
I
watched.
literally have it on Blu-ray. You can come pick it up from my house.
Gosh, I know it's on HBO. I know it's on HBO Max, so I just need to watch it. I need to find time, sit down and watch it because I know I'd love it.
Yeah.
So.
HBO Warner, we know that you renamed HBO Max to Max. We will never call it that. I will always call it HBO Max.
There was a great meme I sent you the other day where it was like HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO Max, now Max in the past 4 years.
It's so bad.
Oh man. Okay. Well, Keeks, after you she passed away in your sleep, you are able to bring one w movie with you onto the other side, and it is movie night in heaven. What movie did you bring and sneak into your coffin? That you brought to the other side. What movie are you showing everybody?
So I think that I could have thought of a few movies. I thought of, it's like Star Wars is my favorite movie of all time. But like to be honest, like I'm sure like they've watched it 500 times. They've watched that movie. It's been, the movie that people sneak on a lot. The movie that I wanted to sneak on because it's my favorite movie to watch with people for the first time is Get Out.
Mm.
Gather everyone who has not seen Get Out. Let's sit in the holy IMAX theater that's up there in heaven. And let's watch Get Out. It's a great first time watch. The all time, like the pinnacle of first time watches for people.
That is a good first time watch. Yeah.
Yeah. I know even for you, you're like, I know that you've said you wish you didn't know what happened in it so you could watch it.
Oh, that is one of my greatest like film regrets. Like I remember watching it like on my phone. Somebody like uploaded it illegally on Facebook. And I watched like the last like 10 minutes. And I was just like, why did I do that to myself?
Yeah.
Dumb mistake.
Is that the only bit that you've seen? Have you only watched the last 10 minutes?
No, I've seen like a recap of it. So, but I really want to watch it with you this Halloween.
I was going to say this Halloween, that would be a great one.
Yeah, no, I know we talked about it last year. We didn't make it happen. We did The Thing, but we got to do that.
The Thing rules. So that makes sense.
The Thing is great, but we got to do Get Out. Like, okay. I want to watch it with you. So.
Okay.
I like it. That's a great, great movie night there. Keeks, anything else you'd like to add for your films and your story through film?
You know, it was actually kind of interesting to do it because I have seen there's kind of a trend in the things that I like, even down to The Master of Disguise. It's the great unknown. It's going in and having an adventure and the friends and the things that happen to you on the way. And I guess that's life. Like, life is one big adventure. And I think that's why adventure films are so popular amongst general audiences, because you kind of don't know what's coming. Like, you want to see them succeed and go out and find whatever they're looking for. And so for me, it's trying to, you know, make that great American film and trying to get that elusive Oscar that I would love to have someday. It would be amazing. Yeah. So,
yeah. Dude, I would be so stoked for you if you won that Oscar.
I would puke. I don't even know what I would do.
I would buy you a leg lamp. That's what I would do.
This was great. Movies to be buried with, films to be buried with is like one of the best podcasts I've heard. I love it so much. Glad you put me on to it.
Well, everybody, I hope you guys have a very good week. Keeks, I hope you're having a blast in Europe. This will be dropped while you're in Europe. And then next week you will interview me and I will give some of my life story through films. So yeah. Should be a blast. But this was a lot of fun, Keeks. Thanks for coming on.
Love it. Thank you for interviewing me, St. Peter, who was at the gates.
You're welcome. And everybody, stay sweet.
Sweet.